Welcome to the live show for sinners and sufferers, the show for weary souls in need of grace. Yeah, we got, no.
I always forget what it is, so I just do it.
It's fine. The show where we're not good at judging distances, but we're good at talking about movies and theology and coffee from vinecoffeeco.com, where you can use code SINNERSDRINKCOFFEE for 15% off your order. Yes, sponsored.
Yes.
Anyways, we've got another great episode lined up for you. We're going to talk about fast food. Do you eat it?
Yes.
Who has the best fries?
McDonald's.
Is Taco Bell trying to kill me?
Yes.
The canceled Batgirl movie. Have we sacrificed good stories for good PR? How are churches following this media trend? Worship. What is it? Why do we do it? How do we do it? Does it require a fog machine? If you're here live, we would love to see you in the chat so that we can feel confident that you are, in fact, real people and not beautiful robots specially designed to consume amazing Christian content.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, my name is Cody.
And my name is Kyle.
And roll the intro, which is that button. All right, so we do have our fast food drinks, which is
not sponsored.
It's intentionally. McDonald's. It's it feels a little bit youth pastory to me to be like, we're going to talk about fast food, so let's have fast food props. But I also kind of love it.
Yeah,
like that's just it's stuck with me from the youth ministry days.
I'm a fast food fan myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
I am as well. And I found, so moving from, because I lived probably, I guess most of my adult life, I lived in Surrey. And Surrey is a pretty large city in British Columbia, suburb of Vancouver, for people who don't know. And lots of options, lots of fast food options, basically everything. Everything I didn't have growing up in a very tiny rural town in British Columbia. And then I moved to Ladner. And Ladner has a McDonald's.
A very popular McDonald's.
Yeah, it's like
it's the place to be.
A well-loved McDonald's. Yeah. It's been in movies and stuff because the architecture is cool.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like Tawasin, they got that mall development, and they had like an A&W and a few other things. So moving to Calgary now, I have like the options have opened up again. There's so many fast food options.
Yes.
And one that I find I ran into is I really like Popeye's chicken. And then when I moved to Ladner, there's no Popeyes in a reasonable distance, but there's a Mary Brown's, and Mary Brown's is just about the same thing. Whereas now there's both. And I've never had the option to decide, and I don't know which one is better.
I couldn't tell you. I have not been to Mary Brown's ever.
Yeah. They're basically if KFC was good.
KFC is delicious. I don't know what you're talking about. I love KFC.
Maybe I haven't had KFC in a while, but I have had Taco Bell recently, and KFCs and Taco Bells, have you seen those? It's often like the same thing.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool because I like getting a taco and then like popcorn chicken on the side just to mix it up, feel eclectic. But anyways, the only Taco Bell I'd really gone to is the one in Surrey, and I always thought it was funny because it's the meme. People are like, Taco Bell gives you diarrhea, gives you the poop, makes you sick. That's the meme is, don't even bother eating the Taco Bell. Just put it directly into the toilet. Mm-hmm. And that has never been my experience. Like,
You're a lucky man.
I was like, the Taco Bell is great. Like, yeah, I don't feel amazing after eating that much cheese because I am technically lactose intolerant. But I was like, I don't know. It doesn't really bother me that much. So anyways, I was looking at just like Uber a couple of days ago to see what could be delivered to me because I was working on a project, realized I hadn't eaten like at all that day and I needed something to be brought to me. So I saw Taco Bell and I ordered some Taco Bell and I got like my usual things, a gordita, which if you've never had one is amazing. It's like a hard taco inside of a soft taco with like an extra layer of cheese holding it. It's beautiful. It's warm and it's soft and I want to like hold it. Anyways, I was so sick. like, just, it wrecked me. Like, I'm glad I didn't have any other plans for that day because I was stuck at home. I couldn't, it was just like, I'd come and I'd sit down and I'd do some coding and I'd be like, oh, not done. Back to the bathroom, come back, do some coding. Like, not done. So I think Alberta Taco Bell hates me.
Potentially. I've never been sick from Taco Bell. So that's a different experience. However, the thing with Taco Bell is I'm never like, oh, I'm really craving Taco Bell right now. It's more like I'm in a food court at a mall and it's there. And I'm like, eh, tacos could be okay. And then you buy like three or four and eat them. And then after it, it's like, I guess that filled me up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about Taco Bell. But I've never been sick from it. I've heard a lot of people have, though.
I love tacos. And something about, I know it's funny because in like my last, or I guess like right after Bible college, I lived with some students still from the Bible college I went to. And one of my roommates is Mexican. And he was like, dude, Taco Bell in Canada sucks. You have to go to US Taco Bell. And one time at the border, the guy's like, where are you guys going to the States? Because we literally would just go to get Taco Bell. And my roommate's like, oh, I'm going to get Taco Bell. And this guy's like, Taco Bell? That's not real Mexican food. You need to go get. And he's like, talk about like real places to get real Mexican food and all this stuff. And it's so funny because my friend Chris is just sitting there and he's like, dude, I'm literally Mexican. Like, why are you like white-splaining this to me? Like, if I want to eat fake Mexican food, I think I know what I'm doing. But anyways, Taco Bell, it's changing, but it was one of my favorite fast food places.
Interesting choice.
That and Wendy's used to be, and I think that was kind of because it seemed exclusive. Like in Quesnel, there was not a Wendy's, but there's one in Prince George, which is like the next, like the only city in the area. So when you'd go to Prince George, we'd get Wendy's and my dad would buy a Frosty. And I was like, this was exciting. Wendy's is the best. And since then I've been like, it's good. It's like, it's not that much. I think it's
Wendy's really upped their game. Like, it's maybe like 10 years ago now, but they really upped their game when they started doing these like sea salt fries is what they were at first.
Fries are so good.
Phenomenal. And that changed the game for Wendy's. That probably kept them in business.
Yeah. Who do you think has the best fries?
Okay. Most like reliable good fries that I can just absolutely inhale is McDonald's, hands down. However, I would say a good contender is curly fries from Arby's.
Oh.
Which is very underrated because most people don't like Arby's. But their curly fries are incredible.
So there's also an Arby's near where we lived in Tawasin. Mm-hmm. And
that was not a good Arby's.
Oh, is it? Because I had never had Arby's before. And finally I went there. And what excited me is they have Barks root beer. And Barks root beer is like one of the least common root beers that you find. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was good. And I love their curly fries. And I like the like their sweetened horseradish or whatever it is. They call it horsey sauce. But nothing else there was great. Like the sandwiches were just like, eh. It's like I could make this at home for cheaper.
They had this, I don't know if they still have it, but they used to have it was like a turkey club sandwich thing there. Mm. Roasted turkey sandwich, something like that. Which was my go-to every single time. People go there for the roast beef. It's all right. Roast beef's fine. But their like turkey sandwich was great. And that's what I always went for. But like I used to go there with my friend Caleb. We would be like, oh, let's go to Arby's. And that because we were like two people who liked Arby's. Mm. And so we could go there and hang out. And that's what I would get. But now I haven't had Arby's in like a couple of years, probably.
It's fair. Anyways, yeah, I like Arby's fries as well. I feel like some of the best fries are A&W's. And maybe, I don't if this is like global. Well, I know A&W Canada is way better than A&W US. Yeah, it's for some reason the one thing that we do better. But they only do like the one size of fries.
Yeah.
You can only get like four fries in a little.
I worked at A&W for a while and it's very strange that they do that. And the amount of people that ask for like large fries or an upsize of fries, I'm shocked they haven't done it yet. Yeah. But I feel it's like their thing where they're like trying to be more like, we're a better fast food place. Like we're more upscale. And the way they do things, like I worked at McDonald's in high school
as well. Same.
So I like the way McDonald's does it and the way A&W does it is like slightly is different because A&W, you put the patties back on and you melt the cheese and everything.
Okay.
McDonald's is literally like throw everything on the bun as fast as you can, put a piece of meat on it and throw it outside.
Yeah.
But A&W, there's like, it's, you have to be fast, but it's like, there's more of a process to it. Mm. So I feel like that's why they don't have like large fries. Okay. Is they're like, we're too good for large fries.
That's funny. It's, if they sold large fries, I would go there for just fries.
Yeah.
I'd just go get some A&W fries because I think they're some of the best. So anyways, I'm wondering, have you ever felt the fast food shame or have you been openly shamed by people for eating fast food?
For eating fast food?
Yeah.
No. But maybe I have an advantage because I am not very, I'm not overweight whatsoever.
What are you implying about not?
but like someone like me, I can say, oh yeah, I eat fast food all the time. And people are just like, cool. Like it doesn't affect you. Oh, that's so great. Like I eat McDonald's so often when I was in high school and look at me now.
Yeah.
So healthy. But no, I haven't. And I've never known someone who's like a vegan or vegetarian or whatever who is like despises corporations like that.
Yeah.
And like hates me for it. So no.
It's funny. So when I worked for the church in Ladner and I was the like junior pastor or whatever they wanted to call me there, it was right next to McDonald's. So while I was working, I often would be like, I'm just gonna go get a little snack. Go get a little McDonald's, bring it back to the office, eat some McDonald's in the office. And I felt like at first it was sort of unsaid. People would be like, huh, Cody got McDonald's again. But there's a point where clearly people were like, Cody, can we take, like, let's go to Subway even. Subway is fresh, right? Which is, Subway's no better. If you start looking at nutritional information, a lot of the things you think are bad and good, like, when I was into fitness a few years ago, I remember picking up like a Vector breakfast cereal and a Lucky Charms and reading the nutritional information, and they're virtually identical.
Yeah.
Like if you're avoiding sugar and you want a certain number of calories and all that, they're exactly the same. You might as well just eat the Lucky Charms and enjoy your life.
Or go to the grocery store and just make your own sandwich.
Yeah.
I love Subway though. Subway is great, having said that.
I used to eat Subway enough that people would like give me Subway gift cards for gifts, and I didn't even know Subway did gift cards. But
I didn't either.
I don't know. I feel like we could kind of get into. Well, I'm surprised you've never been shamed because that puts a little bit of the brakes on.
Sorry, now that you've like mentioned it, I will say there were times where like when I worked at the church, me and the guy I worked with, James, who also did youth, we would be like, oh, let's go grab some lunch. We go to McDonald's because it was across the road. And we'd come back in and the ladies in the front would be like, healthy meal, I see. We'd be like, you know it. And then we'd just keep walking. So I guess that's kind of shamed.
Because I was going to like make a sob story and then read Romans 14:3. It says, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him.
So back off, everyone.
Yeah, but if you've never been shamed, then I guess that kind of spoils that. But I do think there's a little bit, like maybe two is just the people that I rolled with, that I felt like there's this little bit of like, there's the Christian fitness and health culture, right? Where it's almost like, I'd say it borders on culty, and maybe we should do it as its own topic. We could talk about this, but I'll give you time to like,
sure.
I'll send you videos research and stuff in case you have no idea what I'm talking about. But there's definitely a trend. You see it a lot on Instagram with like Christian fitness influencers where they're like, I worship by lifting weights. They're like, oh, overweight. How can you have the sin of not being jacked? And there's definitely like this sort of, you like, be good stewards of your body. Okay. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, which also is misapplication of that because it's referring to the church, to the collective body of believers as being the temple of the Holy Spirit. But let's not like abuse and waste the bodies that God gave us. But there is definitely this sort of like, gospel of, well, I've talked in the past about the, like, the questions worldviews answer, and I think I'll give this as an easy way to sort of spot a false gospel of a cult. Every worldview is asking, what's the problem? What's wrong in the world? And the answer is sin and separation from God. Mm-hmm. If they've answered it anything other than that, it's straying. It's getting off the gospel. And then that worldview asks, what's the solution? The solution is Jesus, his blood, his mediation, his righteousness, his holy life. Jesus is the solution to the problem of sin and separation. So if someone's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they're like, what do you think is the biggest problem in the world? And they're like, obese people. What's the solution? Discipline. Get disciplined. That is like, yeah, that's a cult now. That's another gospel.
I didn't know there were Christian fitness.
It's a thing. I think it's like a really, it's, if you want to be an influencer, it's a really good place to go because there's so many people that love it. Like, I see all the time reels of like people like talking about like, did you know that Jesus died for our sins? while they're like working out, and thousands and thousands. And I'm like, man, I've said the exact same thing in reels where we're just sitting at a desk and we don't get thousands and thousands of like, no. So
your TikTok feed is way different than mine because, and now we'll intro our next topic. My TikTok feed is basically a lot of movie talk.
Yeah.
And people talking about movies because I avoid all those types of things.
That's,
speaking of which, movies.
Yeah. So this came across one of my feeds. I look to TikTok and YouTube Shorts are really good too, though YouTube Shorts do a lot better job of serving you exactly what you want to see. And because of that, it's lots of like movie stuff and like memes about Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that. But those are a good way to kind of see what's happening, like what's the world is dealing with and how people are responding. And so I use that as a good base to be like, okay, how to respond to this in a Christian way. There's American politics be cray right now. So that was like most of my social feeds, but we're Canadian, so we're not going to talk about that. But one thing I did see was that Warner Brothers, which has recently merged with Discovery, which is interesting.
Random.
I'm curious. I'm hoping like good things come out of that. But Warner Brothers recently announced that they are canning their upcoming Batgirl movie, which was set to release on HBO Max after a recent merger with Discovery. The internet people are outraged, as they usually are. Many are saying that Warner Brothers Discovery is only cutting this movie because it stars a Latino woman in the lead role, while Warner Brothers insists they are canceling it because it sucks and it's not worth the further investment. This is literally the release. They're bad and it's not worth the further investment of marketing and releasing it. Whereas some other news sources are citing that the Warner Brothers Discovery CEO, David Zaslav, has openly said that he would hire the best people he could find, that gender and racial diversity, while a factor, are not his top priority. And he's talked a lot about his like 10-year plan to try and like bring back Warner Brothers and revive and bring life back into it or whatever. And this has led some commenters to suggest that it might not be specifically like racist of him, but that perhaps Zaslav sees how companies like Disney and Netflix have begun to suffer as a result of continuing to choose like progressive messaging and PR as priority over just producing quality content with comprehensible narratives. Ed, this raises some questions for me. My first question is, did you even realize there was a Batgirl movie in the works?
Okay. So I'd heard of it.
Okay.
I did not know it was coming out like soon. And I didn't know much about it in general until all this happened. So that's my answer to that.
Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's fair.
I hadn't heard anything about it.
But I mean, I don't know what I haven't really looked at your other questions on this, but like that leads into the other issue with Warner Brothers, which I have tons of issues with.
That they ruin movies.
They don't market their movies well at all.
Yeah.
And then like, and then they expect people to see it and they expect like, because Batgirl is like DC universe, it's supposed to be competition in the MCU. And it's not competition because they don't tell anyone that they're doing these movies. Like Black Adam is coming out soon.
Which, you know why we know about Black Adam?
Because it's The Rock.
Yeah, because The Rock's in it.
Because he's done all of their PR for it. Well, But it was supposed to come out years ago, and it's just coming out now. And most people are like, oh, cool, The Rock's in it. So it'll make some money, but...
Well, and that's so... on Twitter, I've seen a lot of people being like, well, they canceled Batgirl, but they're not canceling Black Adam in early reviews or whatever they call it, like test screenings. They're also saying that Black Adam sucks, so why aren't they canceling Black Adam? It's clearly because Black Adam stars a man and Batgirl stars a girl. No, it's because Black Adam stars The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, The Rock is not a man. The Rock is The Rock. Yeah. It's a whole different... And that man just prints money. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. He has that show. What's it called? It's like Ballers or something. Some HBO show that's basically just like a show about him being a guy that makes money. And people are
into it. He has a show about himself.
Yeah.
Called Young Rock. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Apparently, some people.
I've felt no motivation to watch that show, but no. I don't know. Maybe... He's the type of guy that because he's in everything, he'll put out really good stuff. But then there's also things like there's that one where the poster was like him hanging off of a building and he has like prosthetic legs. And when it came out, like it was really awful advertising because a lot of people thought it was a meme. They thought it was a joke about how The Rock will be in anything. Yeah. But it was actually just a really B movie that he was in. Anyway, the deeper question, which I was kind of getting at there, is we've talked sort of off air a little bit about how we feel like a lot of movies recently are sort of like losing the plot in favor of just forcing representation, where it's, and I'll give you an example that I think you will disagree with. In The Last Jedi.
Okay.
Admiral, what's her name?
Haldo? Yeah.
They're like, hey, it's a strong female character. And she's like, I am a strong female character. She doesn't do, like, she isn't a character. She just exists I'm a strong female character. And her whole little storyline doesn't make any sense. She's not a leader. Her whole, like... she wants to sacrifice herself, and the way she sacrifices herself also kind of like is controversial in Star Wars lore.
Phenomenal shot, though.
Yeah, it looked beautiful. But like, if she had just said, hey, everyone, get on these ships, and I'm going to yeet myself into the Star Destroyer, spoilers for people who haven't seen Last Jedi yet. But if she just told people that, I don't think anyone would have stopped her because everyone's like, wait, who are you? Well, you're kind of annoying and abrasive with trying to push your like self, and she's just not a good leader. Mm-hmm. And it was ironic because in trying to like force a strong female character, they failed even in that because she wasn't good representation. Like Star Wars has had much better.
Mm-hmm. Princess Leia.
Yeah, even Padme.
Yeah.
Was like a great representation because Padme too was someone who proved her competency and like that she could, you know, go to war without having to be like, look, I'm actually just as strong as if not stronger than men. And it's like, which I mean, that's a whole nother thing. Like, is the idea, the concept of being feminine being sacrificed because Hollywood thinks the only way to display equality between men and women is to kill femininity? Because that seems to be the trend. Like, if you look at even the trailer for She-Hulk, like the one where it's the Hulk's like, look, I'd lift big thing. And she's like, I lift big thing better. And he's like, I can balance. She's like, I can balance better. It's like, I get it. Women are better than men.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, is there going to be a story or is the whole thing just like, because then they leak Daredevil might be in it. Is it going to be like, Daredevil's going to be like, I'm a lawyer. And she's going to be like, I'm a better lawyer because I'm a woman. Like, is
that going to beat him in the courtroom?
Yeah. Is that the story?
Maybe.
And I don't know. Like, do you think that is fair? Am I being overly conservative?
Specifically of Haldo? Or you're talking in
like
general?
Just in general, do you think we've lost sight of stories in favor of trying really desperately and poorly to squeeze representation in?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't think that's the issue with Batgirl. I think Warner Brothers is just dumb, personally.
Everything they make sucks, even if it's men.
But like, it's just like, so it's not that one, I don't think, is a race or like gender issue. Mm-hmm. Like that is just a really bad decision on their part, because they're like, we have a $90 million movie that we can can right now, and we have a $300 million movie, The Flash, with the most problematic actor in the world right now, and we're still going to release it, but they spent more money on it. So they found the one that they can get rid of. And so that's why it's not an issue. But in today's world, in everyone's mind, that's the issue.
Yeah.
Is immediately when, like, this movie that's going to have, like, a woman who's Latino.
Yeah.
Right? Who's going to be the star in the movie as, like, a superhero. And then that gets canceled, but these other ones don't. It's automatically like, well, it must be because she's a woman and she's Latino. And, like, there's obviously business decisions they're making that to us makes no sense or whatever, but we are so focused on, like, representation right now that it's often to the detriment of actual content.
Yeah.
And I was telling you before we started, Ms. Marvel, the show that just came out, is a perfect example of doing representation right.
Yeah.
Because for what I know, actually, same directors as Batgirl.
Oh, interesting.
Which is funny. From what I know, the directors are Muslim, and the girl herself is Muslim, and she is Pakistani, I believe.
Yeah.
Or Indian. Sorry. I don't remember. Anyways. Oh, no,
that's important to know the difference.
Yeah, but she's Muslim, despite everything. She's a Muslim. And so what they do in the show is they actually show, like, what it's like growing up in a Muslim household, and they show, like, Muslim festivals and things like that. But it's not shoehorned in at all. It's just, like, as a girl in a Muslim family, this is what her life would be like and how it would evolve, and she's a superhero in that.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly done without feeling like they're catering to anyone, and it just works perfectly. Yeah. But then you have, like, other movies where they're, like, we'll go back to Star Wars. Star Wars Episode 6 Episode 9, the last one. It's a perfect example because they hyped this movie up that was going to be good, first of all.
Yeah. But,
you know. And then one of the things they actually marketed on and said was, we're going to have LGBT representation in it. Mm-hmm. So people were, like, pumped because they're like, whoa, Star Wars representation, amazing. And then the representation was at the end of the movie when everyone's celebrating, kind of in the background, but also in the middle of the shot, is a female character, fairly, like, minor character, kissing another female character. Yeah. And it's like, that's the representation. And people were so mad that that's what it was. And that's what ends up happening is, like, you try to please people by giving representation, and then you don't do it the right way. And it's like,
I think that whole trilogy is great examples of that, because so they introduced Rey, and I thought she was a really cool character coming out of Force Awakens, which I know is controversial because it's basically just a New Hope again, but I liked it. I liked Force Awakens. I was excited. I thought Rey was a cool concept of a character. I thought Finn was a really cool character. And then Finn just disappears. They don't explore any of these ideas, and, like, having a black lead was kind of like a cool thing for Star Wars. Like, this is new. And then they sideline him right away. But then Rey is the most powerful Jedi ever. Like, just by accident. Mm-hmm. Like, she's such a Mary Sue where they're just like she is the Deus Ex Machina. Like, it just makes no sense because, again, they're like, we don't know how to actually just have good female representation and to show femininity, so let's just show that she's better than all men at everything masculine.
Yeah.
And it's silly. But I'll say another really good example that I watched recently was the movie Prey, which is like a prequel to the Predator franchise. Read the parent guide before you watch it. It's just violence, I'll say. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, not an issue at all, but I thought it was really good, and it follows this, Comanche tribe, and it shows a lot of their culture. Like, kind of the premise is that it starts with them doing, like, a big hunt that seems to be like a coming of age thing or something. I'd have to watch it again to make sure I get the details, but I didn't even think Camachi people, different, weird, a culture I'm not familiar with. These people don't look like me. It didn't even really occur to me until after I saw people praising the movie on Twitter for representation, because the lead is a young woman as well, mm-hmm. a young Camachi woman. And I was like, oh yeah, because it actually made sense. Like, the premise of the movie was that this like long time ago, kind of like ancient Camachi tribe was being faced with the predator, who's like an alien with massive future tech stuff. And that's a really cool concept, but it was actually like genuine. It wasn't just how can we force some indigenous representation into this predator movie we've mm-hmm. already made? It was like, hey, here's a concept. What if the predator came before humanity really had like this technology and encountered like some early Native American people? Yeah. It was a cool concept. It was well done. It showed me some stuff. It was cool. The only white people in the movie had a very side role, and they actually were incredibly annoying, but you never think of it. It was very like representation, done well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's where we kind of want to come with this as well, is like, how is this affecting like the church as well? Because oftentimes what we often say is like the church should be affecting culture, but oftentimes mm-hmm. what happens is the culture is affecting the church.
Yeah.
And we definitely are seeing that in a big way right now. And when it comes to representation and compromising on, you know, our values or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
Where are we seeing that in the church today? One, I'll give an example right off the bat from what I have been through. I went to a youth pastor, I guess it was like a lunch. We had mm-hmm. sushi. So I guess it was Vancouver sushi.
Can be lunch.
Yeah. And it was kind of talking about like youth pastors from all around the area. How do we connect our youth groups and youth in the area to kind of strengthen them in their walk with Christ? Let's do like worship nights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things. And they were kind of talking about how like this network they're now creating. We want to have, you know, youth pastors from each city represented,
yeah,
and kind of lead their cities in that. And so we were like talking about that and everything. And then one of the guys, and it was just like, let's gather everyone together and have worship nights and, you know, make sure kids are preaching the gospel in their schools and stuff and helping them with that. And then one of the guys was like, guys, I love this idea. This is great and everything. But, you know, when I look around here, I see a lot of white people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Surrey. And Surrey doesn't have a very large white population. It has a large like Indian population, and like there's a lot of ethnicity in Surrey. Mm-hmm. So like having a group of white guys leading this thing and trying to include everyone doesn't really work. And I actually spoke up there, and I was like sitting there. I was like, I didn't say this, but this what I was thinking was, so the two guys leading this are Filipino.
Yeah.
And there was another guy who is Asian. And then there was quite a few white guys mm-hmm. for sure. But then I spoke up and I was like, our church has a Korean ministry right now, and we're in Tawasin, which is a very like Caucasian place.
Yeah.
Like very much Caucasian, like and rich and everything. That's like the demographic there. But recently there's been like a lot of Korean people moving to the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so our church started a Korean ministry because they're, you know, people who are more comfortable speaking Korean. And I was like, we have a guy on staff who's Korean and he's very involved mm-hmm. with this group. And we've just kind of talked to him and like, hey, how can we like kind of connect the groups and get them involved in the church? And that's been the conversation. And I was like, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to like sit here and be like, okay, where are we going to find every ethnicity possible?
Yeah.
And how are we going to represent everyone to reach everyone? And I understand, like, I do fully understand that, you know, you're going to be attracted to people who are very similar to you mm-hmm. in interest, but also in ethnicity, nationality, everything. But I was like, the way you go about it is you just include everyone.
Yeah.
And so like with youth group, it's like your youth group should look like the people in your city. Mm-hmm. So if you have a city that's very multicultural, that's what your youth group's going to look like. If your neighborhood is very white Canadian,
yeah,
that's what, unfortunately, maybe to you, that's what your youth group's going to look like. Mm-hmm. But like, are you reaching the people that are around you? Yeah. And that's the more important question.
And I think that's, that it's kind of not always the word disingenuine. I feel like, is that a double negative? It's not genuine when people are like, oh, we need to somehow find some like Asians or some black people in our church. It's like, how about just reach your community? Mm-hmm. And I've always said, if a church says one of their values is being multicultural, they're not multicultural, because yeah. a church that's actually yeah. multicultural doesn't have to say they just preach the gospel. They just exist mm-hmm. and have good community. But yeah, I think another, so last episode I asked about areas that the church like has taken on like doctrines of, or like, was it laws of men to become doctrines of Christ, and like sort of misread. And I think a good one that I thought of after the fact, is in like equal representation. So one example is, churches I've been a part of, and I don't know if it's denominational or if it was just the specific churches, they have a board of deacons that kind of function like elders. That's a whole nother topic. Mm-hmm. But they're like, we have to have, of our 10 deacons, they have to be like 5 men and 5 women. It's like, well, why? For equal representation. That's one of our values, is equality and equal representation. And there are times where they're like, yeah, we have these qualified men that want to be on the board, but we can't hire, or we can't have another man on the board. We need a woman now. Mm-hmm. So like, please, some woman volunteer to be on the board, because we need to have equal men and women. It's like they've made a doctrine, they've made a law out of this like law of the world of equal representation. And I've said before that I had sort of a period where I was in like a lot more progressive wing of Christianity. And when I was in that, there's an organization that I still think is like a good organization that do good work. They're focused on like getting women out of sex trafficking, basically. Mm-hmm. And I volunteered with them. I'd speak for them and stuff. And it was a thing where I was getting like a lot of praise for like how progressive I was and how like I was talking about equality of genders and all this stuff. But then it was still sort of like, there'd be these comments where it's like, yeah, but you're still like a straight white man.
Yeah.
Like if you did the same thing, but you weren't straight, or you weren't white, or you weren't a man, it'd be so much better for everyone and for you, and you'd get so much more praise then, and it'd just be great. And it's like, well, what is it? How does that matter? Like, that's like, it should be who's qualified for this, who's doing a good job, who's being faithful to scripture, who's preaching the word, mm-hmm. not just are we keeping with the times? Are we looking progressive enough? Do we have every ethnicity represented on our board? Do we have equal representation of men and women? That's, I think, a total selling out.
Yeah. Even talking about this, like you and me, people will be like, we're not qualified to talk about this topic because we are like the majority ethnicity in the country. And I think that's where, like, as a church, we're supposed to be standing out, but we're actually like conforming mm-hmm. to the culture, because in the church, like the Bible says, there's no Jew or Greek.
Yeah.
Right. And, like in Christ, we are all one. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been weird to me, because I know people say that like we have like white people can have like color blindness or whatever, and say that that's what they have, and they're not racist, but they actually are. But I've just like never, I've never even considered it.
Yeah.
And I've never even thought about it. And people will say that's an issue too. And you can't say anything like without it being an issue, but in the church, we're all one in Christ. So whoever comes through your doors, or mm-hmm. whoever lives in your city, you reach them with the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's, it should be as simple as that. And we often try to like take what the culture is saying and relate it to the church. And we start veering off of like a core message of Christianity, which is like Christ came to die for all people, not just a specific like white people or black people or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we are allowing like culture to speak into the church, and we're changing because of it.
Yeah. It's funny because you and I literally got in trouble for talking about if women be pastors.
Yeah.
And we got messages that are like, you're two guys, you're not allowed to talk about this.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? But yeah, it's funny. Well, and it's funny because you use the phrase color blindness, and that's like a pretty taboo phrase, but it's also kind of a relief because the idea is kind of stupid because people are like, oh, I don't even see ethnicity, I just see all people as white, right? It's like, wait, what? Yeah. And like acknowledging, like, I'd still someday, maybe we should see if Charles wants to come on. I have a friend, Charles, who does a ministry where he goes into schools and he just talks about race, and he's black, and I acknowledge that he's black and he's a cool guy. I have an uncle who sometimes listens to our show, who, hi, Uncle Eddie, if you're here, he's Chinese, and I acknowledge he's Chinese. Like, it wouldn't make sense to be like, oh no, he's not, like, oh, I don't see that about him. It's part of who he is. It's part of his upbringing, part of his story, his history, which defines his character and his personality in some way. So like, it doesn't make sense to ignore these things. But
and that's like, sorry to keep it going, we can move on.
Yeah.
But like, that's where like, when everyone's coming to the church, and they've had situations with the church that have gone poorly.
Mm-hmm.
You and me have had that. Like, everyone has had that. And so, like, this isn't saying that, like, because of your experience, don't bring anything up and just, like, be quiet and, like, go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just saying that, like, we're putting our identity in certain things that it's not supposed to be in.
Yep.
So, like, as anyone who's, like, a pastor or a spiritual leader in a church, like, should always be listening to what their congregation is saying about, like, here's my experience being in this church and how I feel, if I'm comfortable, that kind of, all that kind of stuff. But also remembering the core message of our faith, which is Christ came to die for sinners.
Well, so I think this topic actually ended up transitioning perfectly into our That Good Theology topic, which I have a soundbite now. Oh, which one is it? Hold on.
I don't understand theology.
Which I enjoy. It's from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which clearly does not understand theology. but yeah, so we wanted to talk about, well, we're just continuing through 1689. So you can, if you go and find it, you can predict what we're going to talk about. And that is why we're using it, so that it gives us topics. But we're in chapter 22, which talks about worship. And we'll just handle the first paragraph today. But it actually, like, the main things it talks about is why we worship and how we worship. And I think this is very relevant because in a lot of ways, the ways that we worship in church have been influenced by culture and the cultural moment and these sorts of things. But we'll get to that in a second. But I'll just read the paragraph here from the 1689, excuse me, chapter 22, paragraph 1. And if you are on YouTube right now, you can find a link to it in the description. Just make sure you right click and then click open a new tab so you don't accidentally leave the stream. But this says, the light of nature shows that there is a God who has lordship and sovereignty over all, is just, good, and does good to all, and is therefore to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted in, and served with all the heart and all the soul and with all the might. But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself and so limited by his own revealed will that he may not be worshiped according to the imagination and devices of men, nor the suggestions of Satan under any visible representations or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, so it starts out with basically just telling us why we worship God. Because of who he is, because he is sovereign Lord over all. He is good and he does good. And I think that's something I don't know if you saw that clip from a certain, it's the largest church in the world, I think, largest church in North America. So I won't name names, but you can figure it out, where like the pastor's wife is preaching and she's like, when we worship, it's for us. No, it's not. Have you seen that clip?
Maybe.
Oh, it's
I don't remember.
It's so cringy. But the point of worship is not to get something out of it. It's not to feel good. Like it will feel good because it's living in our purpose, which is a fulfilling thing to do. But the purpose of worship ultimately is to attribute glory and express thanksgiving to God for who he is, because he deserves worship.
Yeah, and I find like worship's a huge topic still, and it's like, can we like move on now? Like, I don't know.
Okay, relax.
but it's like, it's always something that we have to complain about at church, and it's,
yeah.
I don't like that song. I really like this song. Can we sing this song?
Mm.
There was one. I used to run a Christmas Eve service, like a late Christmas Eve service that was supposed to be for young adults, okay. And it wasn't ever. But I guess, so first year I went there, it was like, you're running that service. We do it more acoustic, and that's all I got. We do it more acoustic. And so get a youth and young adults team to do it.
Yeah.
And so at the end, people light candles because it's Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
which I knew I had to do because that's, you know, you have to do that. And I guess the song was, I still don't know the song, but apparently it's widely known that it's Silent Night.
Okay.
Or O Holy Night.
Yeah.
When you light the candles. And so because we were doing like kind of a different service, I was like, there's this really cool song called All Glory Be to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in the third verse, it says something like, he will be our light or whatever. I don't know. It talks about light. I can't remember it right now. But it's in the third verse. And so I was like, can we end on that? Because that would be like such a great moment where like the song's singing about Christ and who he is and glory to him. And that's really what Christmas is all about. And then on the third verse, like he will be our steadfast light is one of the lines, right? And I was like, at that verse, we'll all light our candles and we'll be singing like he is our steadfast light. It'll be this really cool picture. Mm-hmm. And so we did it. And it was awesome. I like loved it. I left that night and was like, wow, that was a great Christmas Eve service. And then the next week when like people were talking about it and like getting feedback on it or whatever. And it was like, I didn't know any of those songs. It wasn't a Christmas Eve service because we didn't sing the right Christmas carols.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like so confused because I was like, what do you mean? And it was like, they didn't sing Silent Night when we lit the candles.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on? And like in my mind, I was like, we picked songs specifically that were like solid lyrics, focusing on Christ and who he is. The sermon I did, John 1 in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God, and like talking about the incarnation of Christ. And it was all leading to the final song, All Glory Be to Christ, which is why we were there and why Christmas is all about.
And it's to the tune of Old Anxiety, which is like the holiday song.
Right. So it fits. And all people could focus on was like, I didn't know those songs and I wanted to sing Christmas carols.
Mm.
And it's one of these things where we lose sight of what worship is about and we can focus on like, I couldn't hear the guitarist very well this morning. The sound guy wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And I wish I knew a lot of those songs. And like, maybe I've just like grown sick and tired of the whole conversation.
Mm.
But like when I approach church, I really don't. Like, I want them to think about the songs they're picking, and that's about it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're not... That's not the main topic that I thought we were going to go with this. But I mean, I do want to say, like, All Glory Be to Christ. Such a good song. People are ridiculous. Well, I've had experiences, like, because I was a worship leader, and to a point where I was applying for, like, worship pastor jobs. And at this point in time, I do still want to be a pastor again, but I would never be a worship pastor.
Yeah.
And there's times, so
hearts go out to those guys.
Oh man, it's like toughest job, maybe. I don't know. But I did, what is it, Just As I Am, which is like an old hymn or whatever, but I did like this upbeat version of it where it's like, boop, cat, ba, boop, cat, just as I am. And I thought it was really cool. And after the service, one person comes up and they're like, I really didn't like that because that old hymn, it's associated with like Billy Graham, and that reminds me of like fundamentalism, and it was just kind of triggering for me to sing that old hymn. I wish you wouldn't do that specific old hymn. And then like that person walks away. Another person comes up and says, I hated that new arrangement of that old hymn. That was a disgrace to that old hymn. You're ruining that old hymn. That's so disrespectful of you as a young man to rearrange an old hymn like that. I was like, I quit. what do you want from me?
But that's all putting like our preferences over what worship is about, yeah. Which is like worshiping God and yeah. attributing him glory for who he is.
Well, and I think that's, so I'll say, because we don't want to be too focused on like song selection, because that, like you said, is sort of beating a dead horse. But just think, is this attributing glory to God? Or is this expressing thanksgiving? And I think that's where we find a lot of songs. Like, we could talk about genre and how our genre tends to like flow with the times. I don't think that's inherently bad. I don't think there's anything wrong with it sounding like pop music. I would rather more electric guitars and stuff, because like when I'm not listening to Christian music, well, I usually only listen to Christian music. When I'm not listening to church music, I'm usually listening to metal or like rock and like that sort of stuff. But yeah, a lot of the songs that are huge are kind of just about us. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what was that one? I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Mm-hmm. That song's literally about me. I'm raising a hallelujah. Right. It's not attributing. Anyways, watch us get like copyright struck for.
Your singing.
I don't know how good that sounds in these mics. Anyways, this is not set up. I usually like as much auto tune as possible when I sing. But yeah, just when you're picking songs, if you're in that position in your church, ask, is this attributing glory and expressing thanksgiving? And if it's not, it's probably shouldn't be on my set list. And if you're attending a church and your worship leader picks the wrong songs, just like leave them alone. Like pray for them maybe, or talk to your lead pastor if you have to talk to someone.
Wait a few days.
Yeah, don't just go harass poor worship leaders. They're all volunteers for the most part. But anyways, the sort of second portion of this after the why we worship is that, where's the phrasing, where it says acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself and so limited by his own revealed will. So this is, we've done an episode before where we talked about the normative and the regulative principle of worship. And I'm going to try not to get these backwards. The regulative principle says that it's only permitted to do in worship what God expressly has asked us to do. Whereas the normative says everything is permitted unless God has expressly forbidden it.
Yeah.
And this confession is reformed, so it's leaning towards regulative. We lean towards regulative. Yes. Surprise. Surprise. I don't like fault people for the normative, though I do think it get like some people get weird. But then at the same time, a lot of reformed people, that's where you get people who are like, drums, that's not worship. And it's like, Psalms literally says crashing cymbals. Like, I don't think.
Just keep up the drum hate. It's okay.
But yeah, basically what this is getting at is that if God is the one being worshipped, if the point is to express thanksgiving to him and attribute glory to him, then shouldn't we let him be the one who says, this is how I want to be worshipped? Mm-hmm. It's similar to the whole, I can't remember, I probably went into this tangent in the last episode too that we did on worship, but it's similar to this whole love languages thing, right? You know, the five love languages. I don't know how much like credence there is to that. It's another like one of those things Christians just love for some reason. But kind of the purpose of doing that, if you're in a relationship, is realizing how you prefer to receive love and how people you're with prefer to receive love, because your tendency will be to show love in the way that you prefer to receive it. But that's not necessarily how the people you're with want to receive love, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, if someone was like, hey, I don't know. I'm trying to think of example. I don't want to be mean too. I'm just like, gifts is not a huge one for me. Not my love language. So generally, like I appreciate gifts and I can appreciate the sentiment behind them, but I have to like make myself get really excited when I receive gifts. But if someone's like, have a Tim Hortons gift card, and if you ever gave me a Tim Hortons gift card, I appreciate it. Thank you. If someone's like, here, have this Tim Hortons gift card, and people are just always giving me a Tim Hortons gift card and nobody actually took the time to like get to know me and realize that I just make my own coffee for the most part. And if I go out for coffee, it's going to be to some like one-off local shop or something. Like that's effectively, if we're just inventing our own way to worship, if we're like, I'm actually going to worship God through prophetic painting. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that one exactly because I know that exists and that's a thing that is nowhere in scripture. Like yeah. Prophetic painting is entirely an invention of man. And if you're like, there's nothing wrong with that, just be founded in scripture. If you disagree with us but can defend it with scripture, go for
all
it.
All for it.
Yeah. That's we just want you to be firm in what you believe, not firm in what we believe. But yeah, if God's like, yeah, I'm a big fan of music, sing songs to me, and we're like, I'm going to give you a painting. Like, isn't that kind of inconsiderate? Is
that? Well, and it's not a foreign concept to religion in general either. Mm. Like I'm pretty sure every other religion, like people are like, I have to go to the temple and do this because that is what my God requires of me for worship. Mm-hmm. Like very, very wrong thing. Do not ever do this. But like when child sacrifice was a thing, mm-hmm. it's because they believe that their God required them to sacrifice children. Or, so Old Testament, they had to sacrifice animals for their sins.
Yeah.
And that's because God told them this is, you know, it was a sign pointing to Jesus, but like, that's what they were told to do. So it's not a foreign concept to religion in general. But I think we can sometimes take like the grace of God for granted. And we say, you know, God loves me and therefore he will love me despite anything I do. Mm-hmm. And we usually don't talk about it like that when it comes to sin. We're like, oh, I suffer sinning. But then it's like, but when we worship him, it's like, yeah, that's actually not in scripture doing that. And we're like, well, but I was doing it for God, so I think he's okay with it.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Bible says. Like God says, here's what I require of you, do this. Cain and Abel, maybe the first worship service, mm-hmm. or maybe that was Adam and Eve's wedding. There's a theological paper you could write. But Cain and Abel, one of the first worship services, is Abel brings...
I feel like Brandon knows. Brandon, let us know.
He knows everything. But Abel brings his offering and God accepts it, and mm-hmm. Cain brings his offering and God does not accept it. And there's actually not much there saying why or why not God didn't accept it. Other than what I've found is that Cain's sacrifice is not what God asked for when it came to an offering. Mm-hmm. And so it was not a proper offering to God. And so that's where like we see it in the Bible itself. And then now that we're like in 21st century, well, I mean, it's happened before, but like all of a sudden we're kind of like, well, this is what I do for God. Therefore he will accept it. Mm-hmm. And we should never just assume that like anything we say we do for God is what God wants and accepts.
Oh, Brandon's here. He missed the question.
What was the first worship service in the Bible? Was it Adam and Eve's wedding or Cain and Abel's offering?
Did Adam and Eve or have a wedding?
Yeah.
It seems implied somehow. I don't know.
There wasn't like 150 people in a guest list or anything. Yeah, but
nobody brought them gifts, we assume. Animals roll up with some fruit or something. where was I going with that? Oh, right. So I'd say, yeah, we need to wrap up pretty quick because we're going quite long, mm-hmm. but I'd highly recommend people read the book if they haven't, The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul, because as you're talking, I immediately thought of the story of the strange fire, and it was the priest's two, I don't remember the names offhand, but the priest's two sons, they brought some new oil or something they had found to for their offering fires or incense, I think it was. Man, I'm doing really bad. This is what happens when I try
to
off
strange
the cuff.
Fire.
They lit fire in a way they weren't supposed to, and they burst into flames.
Copyright John McCarthy.
And there's people who are like, it might have been they tried to use natural gas or something. But the point was they weren't doing what they were explicitly told to do. They're explicitly told to bring the fire in a specific way, and they decided to do it in their own way. And the unfortunate result is that they literally burst into flames and died horribly. And R.C. Sproul just does a really great walkthrough and breakdown of how we really don't acknowledge God's holiness. And like when we read stories like with that, we're like, that's absurd, that's crazy. But it's because we don't understand how holy he is and how sinful we are. And I think that's why we can get to places where we're like, oh, I'll just worship however I want and God will forgive me. And it's even though we're not under the law, we're not under judgment, we still, if we really understand who he is, if we really understand how holy he is, we should be motivated to want to worship him the way that he's asking to be worshiped. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I wanted to go on to the idea of like worshiping God with your life. And you know, Romans 12:1-2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. But that could be like another 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So
we can leave that for another time.
Well, I was thinking maybe throw it out to the comments if people want to let us know, like, what does it mean to worship God with your life? Like, what do you think about that? And then, yeah, maybe we'll talk about it later. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, thanks for being here.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, see some of our regulars in the chat. Also, Dan, who...
Dan married me.
Oh, that... Okay. I was like, he says, Dan, hello, it's... Well, he says, yo, Dan. And I was like, I don't know who that is. So I'm glad you know who that is. Dan, thanks for being here.
Welcome.
But yeah, we appreciate the live people, especially if you sat through the whole thing. That was a long time and a lot of topics. And if you came for the theology and sat through the fast food discussion just to get to the theology, wow, you hero.
Good job.
You might, yes.
Oh, why does it never work for me, Cody?
Cody, oh no, which one is
like, it? Fancy
I
new
had it, like,
thing.
Silent it. Wait, which one? There we go.
Sound effects.
Sorry, I didn't want to like accidentally bump it. I also think earlier when I did it, it didn't work. But
yeah,
I hope that one worked.
Well, here, I know this one.
It's our outro music, and I made it much, much longer so that it won't have to be looped before I'm done. In fact, I don't have that much left to say.
No. Closing. Well, follow, come to our Discord or Instagram. I tend to be more on Instagram. Sorry. Still, I always say that, but and let us know what you think about worshiping with your life and what that means. And also let us know your thoughts. What was the first worship service? I would like to know personally.
What does it mean to worship God with your life? We'd love to hear from you. If you want to support us, the best thing you can do is share this podcast, because we want to have more conversations. We want to talk to more people. We want to network with more people who are smarter than us, like Brandon. We're doing this for the community and for good conversations. If you would like to support us financially so that we can buy nicer mics or whatever, I don't know, we have a Patreon where you can sign up to give monthly. Or if you just want to like help us out, Kyle's coffee company, Vine Coffee Co. He sells beans, and I want him to get really, really wealthy so he can hire me to come work for him. So go buy your coffee beans from vinecoffeeco.com and use the code SINNERSDRINKCOFFEE for, I believe it is 15% off still. That's a pretty hefty, that is a robust discount. So do that, and we would appreciate you even more than we already do.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.